Hi there, and welcome to Heard Online, a series of videos where we take a critical look at things that we have heard online about sleep or about insomnia. And today's article comes actually from one of our students in the Insomnia Immunity program who asked about this specific article that she had read. And I replied last week, I think it was, and I thought this was really interesting. I wanted to bring it up to to everyone in the larger community, in the YouTube community as well. So the headline here is how waste gets washed out of our brains during sleep. This is from Medical News Today. And basically what the headline suggests is that we have some new information that explains how waste is washed out of our brains during sleep. That's, what they're reporting here, or implying that they're reporting. And I thought we should actually do this today. We'll look first at why this can be triggering. We'll look at the actual study that they're reporting on, and then we'll go back to the Medical News Today and see, do they actually have proof of what they're reporting in this Medical News Today article? So that's the plan. And why can this article be triggered? Well, the way I think about it is it can make us think the following: that okay. If sleep is important for clearing out waste, waste doesn't sound good, it's probably not healthy for us. So if sleep is important for clearing out waste from the brain, then if I'm not sleeping that much, then that waste product is probably stuck into my brain, and that doesn't sound good. That sounds like it could impair our function. It sounds like it could potentially create some disease, even. Like, there's these implications. There's people in the sphere that talk about a link between sleep and Alzheimer's. Overall, this all can be very scary. So I think basically this is why this article can be triggering, can be alarming to read this. So with that said, let us actually take this first one away from the screen, and let's look at the original article, the actual data that this all comes from. And this is actually an article from Science, which is a very highly regarded journal. And the title reads, "Coupled Electrophysiological Hemodynamic and Cerebrospinal Fluid Oscillations in Human Sleep." And I like this title because it just describes what this is about. There's no implied, there's no interpretation of the data in the title, which is very nice. And now, with that said, I'll just tell you what they did, and then we'll take a look at the results. So basically, they took 13 adult males, adult subjects. There were subjects, 13 subjects, they were aged 23 to 33, I don't remember the gender. But they had them sleep in an MRI machine with an EEG, EEG electrodes on, so they could measure their EEG activity, as well as blood flow, as well as cerebrospinal flow. You can imagine it's not very easy to sleep in an MRI machine, which, and there's only 13 subjects. So it's a small study. The conditions are a little bit special. So that, to some degree, makes you wonder how representative, how much does this represent what actually happens when we sleep? That's sort of hangs over this article entirely, I think, because of those circumstances. But that said, we talked about what they did. Let's take a look at the results. And I want to show this mainly to show what are results, okay? So in this figure here, they show where the slices from the MRI machine and the ventricle that they looked at. And here is the occipital EEG spectrogram during stable sleep and wakefulness and during transition. And you can see this is this spectrogram, and this is what raw data can look like. And as you can tell, it's just different colors and different colors of different intensity. And that's the spectrogram. And here we have the behavioral response, which I don't know exactly how they measure that, clicks per minute, but we can see that there was very little going on when this person was sleeping, and there was a transition phase, and there's more activity when they're awake. And this is their CSF signal. And you can see the same, you can see a clear difference from, sleep and wakefulness here. But my point here is just that this is raw data, and you can tell that it's not like an MRI machine or EEG, device. spits out like an interpretation. It's like says, hi, this is what we found, and this is what it means. My point is that humans have to interpret this data. Humans have to create a story around this data. And often that story is what we always hear about, but this is what kind of raw data can look like. Now, with that said, their main finding, you know, the thing that they focus on as the results here is really this. So in A here, we can see an example of, you know, so the green one here is blood flow or a surrogate marker of blood flow. And in the purple here is a surrogate marker of cerebrospinal fluid flow in the brain. And this A here is doing wakefulness, and they're reporting that the cerebrospinal flow actually is coupled with respiration, which is not that surprising, like with changes in like our intrathoracic and, you know, pressure that propagates through our bodies. And that could, you know, we can see that how that could affect our cerebrospinal flow. But they're reporting that during sleep, we have these slower waves of cerebrospinal fluid flow that is not coupled with respiration. A similar thing happens with blood flow, which seems sort of random here during wakefulness, but there are these big, slow waves during sleep. So that's what they found. That's their main finding. And how did they interpret this? Well, let's look at the author's interpretation of this. So they're concluding here that human sleep is associated with large coupled low frequency oscillations in neuronal activity, blood oxygenation, and CSF flow. They, in addition to what I showed there, they saw that in parts of the brain where there was a large amount of cerebrospinal fluid, they saw an association between the electrical activity in the brain and these waves of blood flow, as well as these waves of cerebrospinal fluid flow. So that's the conclusion. They're concluding that human sleep is associated with this large coupled low frequency changes in neuronal activity, blood oxygenation, and CSF flow. That's their conclusion. Now they say, although electrophysiological slow waves are known to play important roles in cognition, our results suggest that they may also be linked to the physiological restorative effects of sleep, as slow neural activity is followed by brain-wide pulsations in blood volume and CSF flow. So they're not sure about this. They're saying that maybe the electrical slow waves are linked to the physiological, like us feeling more refreshed when we sleep. But they don't know this. This is just speculation. Again, the only conclusion is the one we just read. Now they make a bold statement here. They say that these results address a key missing link in the neurophysiology of sleep. The macroscopic, kind of the big picture changes in CSF flow that we identified are expected to alter waste clearance. So this is interesting. They make a very bold statement based on 13 subjects, which is, you know, a very small study, right? But they're not saying that sleep or these changes in cerebrospinal fluid that we're seeing with sleep will improve or enhance clearance, but they're saying that it will alter it, meaning they don't actually know how this, like if you have small kind of changes in cerebrospinal flow that is coupled with breathing versus larger kind of waves that are not coupled with breathing, they don't know if one or the other will like lead to more clearance of waste products. They don't know that. They just say alterations. I think this is really, 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 really interesting to point out. And the rest of this is really just, again, you know, more speculation. But those are the results of the study. So with that said, now we know about the study. Now we can go to the article from Medical News Today and look at, you know, what they reported and how well that actually aligns with the original study. So how waste gets washed out of the brain during sleep, that again, you know, having seen the original article, we can't really say that we've now found how this washing out process happens. And the entire idea of waste being washed out during sleep, I don't think has that much, is that not very foundational. I looked at the sort of original article where that idea came from, and it was a mouse study. That was a study from mice. So very unclear how that really affects us humans. But anyway, that's a few notes on this headline. They're saying, for the first time, a new study has observed that cerebrospinal fluid washes in and out of the brain in waves during sleep, helping clear out waste. So this is these last four words of the introduction here was not supported by the original article and makes all the difference. So they can say that yes, we saw these waves, but it wasn't clear at all that helped clearing out waste, which makes all the difference, right? When you read this article, if it had just said, and we don't know how that affects this potential waste, waste flowing in and out of the brain. We don't know how that affects it. It would have been totally different, than what they're saying here. But this could be triggering when it suggests that sleep is important in clearing out waste, right? So that's one. And then similarly here in bold, they say, now researchers at Boston University have found that during sleep, the fluid present in the brain, cerebrospinal fluid, washes in and out like waves, helping the brain get rid of accumulated metabolic trash. Not really. They've just seen the waves. They've not seen anything else. I felt there was maybe one more thing that I wanted to point out. What are the causal links? So the authors themselves say that they haven't really found anything that's causal, and that's actually, I think, super important. So anyway, I think we reviewed the original article. We reviewed the medical news story today. And to me, what I always like to point out is this: there is absolutely no evidence whatsoever that short sleep or insomnia causes any health issues. And this article, again, absolutely nothing causal about this. Was not a double-blind and a placebo-controlled interventional study where they did this to one cohort and this to other cohort and saw what happened. Not at all. And still to this day, we have no such evidence, and also no evidence that short sleep insomnia causes any waste product elimination problems in the brain. There's no randomized studies, no causal links whatsoever. It's all really just ideas, speculation, and thoughts like that. As I was preparing for this, I was reading this article, it sort of led me to a bigger question, if you will, which was this one, which is, how much faith do we have in the human body, right? How much faith do we have in the human body? When you read these articles, it is implied that sort of the human body is very fragile, and we need very ideal circumstances, et cetera, or else something might happen. Something like this. Like, I have these two questions that came to my mind. One is this one, like, do we think that the human body requires a narrow, specific, or ideal amount of things like sleep or macronutrients or micronutrients or exercise or sunlight, or it would develop some disease? Or do we think that the human body is this, survival machine that is designed to compensate for a large range of circumstances, and that it is like everything else in nature? It just wants to survive, and it has a capacity to thrive and survive in many different circumstances. I think personally that everything that's alive, it's designed to survive, and it can compensate for many circumstances, including like staying up and playing like video games at night. I think the human body is very well capable of doing that. It's also very well capable of being in a state where we think we're under some threat, right? That's basically what happens with insomnia. We think that there's something dangerous, something that's happening, and we stay awake more because of that. And that's a survival thing. And I think the human body is very, very capable of staying alive, surviving just as well when it thinks there's some threat as when it thinks there's no threat. That's my opinion. But anyway, I hope this helped clear out some clear some doubts or some worries and some stress around the whole idea of waste product elimination and things like that. If you have read this particular article, I hope this was helpful. As always, let me know what you think. And also, as always, if you find yourself doing really well perhaps thanks to the free information here. That's fantastic. Let us know. But as always, if you feel like, you know, you're not really feeling like yourself, you're scared, you would like some more help on your path to sleeping well and leaving the struggle forever, then of course, head over to our website. And if you want to talk to me, I'm available. You can talk to Coach Rochelle, or you can join our Insomnia Mini Program or Bedtime as well. Many great options for you if you'd like some more help. So with that said, thank you for today. And tomorrow we have Insomnia Open class where I'll answer questions from the community. So for those of you who attend, I'll look forward to seeing you there. Bye for now.